Do you remember holding your first baby, Carol?
Tammy, it was the most incredible moment of my life. I was so happy, but I was also so scared. She was such a tiny, helpless person.
A baby is an amazing and beautiful gift. I was talking to my friend Sarah the other day when she told me her story. I was nearly in tears after hearing it. She'd been married for a year, but has not yet been able to have a baby. She just longs to hold her own baby in her arms. She can't even look at women who are pregnant because of her sadness. The cries of a newborn baby send her running for a quiet spot where she can weep. An ancient songwriter wrote that children are a blessing from the Lord. She feels she's missing out on that blessing. Welcome to Women of Hope. Carol and I are so happy to be with you again at your place. I hope we can sit with you for a while.
Or keep working if you have to, while we keep you company. We started talking about infertility, not being able to have a baby. Maybe you have experienced this, or you know someone who's going through it now. So Tammy, tell me about your friend. Has Sarah always wanted children?
She had planned on having eight.
Eight?
Now it looks like she cannot have any at all.
Well, there are many women who cannot have children. Do you know if she has any friends in the same situation?
I'm not sure, but it would be good for her to talk to someone who shares her experience. She feels ashamed.
Oh, this is not her fault, and it is quite common. I think about one in every 10 couples can't have children.
Sarah's husband thinks there's something wrong with her, so now there are some problems in their marriage.
Her fault? What if there's a problem with him? Sometimes you know there is a problem with the woman, but just as often, there's a problem with the man. Sometimes there are problems with both the woman and the man that make it very hard for them to conceive a child. And sometimes no cause can be found at all. So how long has she been trying to have a baby?
For about a year. She's now going to the doctor. It's expensive, though, as they both need tests.
Often, a man might feel a bit threatened and think that testing him questions his manhood. But it is very important to test him, especially before a woman has tests that might include an operation. If there is a problem with him, it doesn't make him any less of a man. He is a much stronger man to love his wife enough to have a test done before making her have any tests.
Sarah is still young, and so is her husband. So they have a much higher chance of having a baby. The chances become lower as people get older.
Yes, my doctor told me that as a woman gets older, she doesn't produce as many eggs. Each year, the number of eggs produced is smaller. Women who are near the change of life stop making eggs. There can be problems with the baby forming, leading to miscarriage, and the mother may lose the baby before it's even formed enough to survive.
If a woman's cycle does not come about every month, does that mean there's a problem?
Well, it can mean her hormones are not working properly, and she may not be making an egg each month. The doctor said that sometimes this can be due to sickness in her body, like from her thyroid. Or if she's too thin or too fat, her body may not even have a normal cycle. A simple blood test late in her cycle can tell if she's even made an egg. And sometimes there can be problems that are passed down from our parents.
I know that some women can make an egg, but then the sperm cannot travel to the egg. Or the egg does not implant properly in the womb. An ultrasound test looks at the shape of the womb, the tubes, and the ovaries that produce the eggs.
Sometimes the tubes can be blocked. That can be caused by an infection that spreads with sex. Condoms can usually stop the infection happening, but not always. Operations and infections can cause scars that will create a blockage as well. Usually these things are found by an operation where the doctor will look inside the lower part of the abdomen or pelvis.
That sounds like lots of testing, and still, sometimes, nothing can be found. So I can see why the man should be tested first. It may save all this trouble. Now, Carol, this might sound strange, but I once heard someone say, it is important that people know exactly how to make babies.
Well, if that's the case, then maybe ask a good friend or your sister or mother if you're not sure that you're doing it right.
I feel a bit like my friend's big sister at the moment. I am so concerned for her. But we did spend time praying together. We remembered many of the women in the Bible who were unable to have children. God heard their prayers and answered some of them with the gift of children, some even in their old age.
I think it's wonderful that you could pray with her. Did you ask her about anything else that she's doing to help her conceive?
We did talk about her cycle and when she would be most fertile. Her cycle is usually about 28 days, and the best time is about 1 to 2 weeks after her bleeding stops.
You know, it's also very important to be looking after yourself, and also that your husband is careful too. Eating well, especially fruits and vegetables, is good. And meat, too, if you can get it. I remember the doctor recommended taking a folate supplement the month before you want to become pregnant and for the first 3 months of your pregnancy. Folate is good to help the baby's brain and spine develop. Sometimes iodine is also needed, especially when there is none in the soil where you live, and it has not been added to the salt that you use to cook with. And it's also very important not to take things which can harm the eggs or sperm or the new baby that might be growing. For example, definitely don't smoke or take alcohol when you're trying to have a baby. And don't use drugs without talking with your doctor or healthcare worker.
Well, that's sensible advice for anyone. I feel sad for my friend, though. She may not be able to have her own children, even if she could afford to pay the medical costs of having tests.
And she would feel real grief, I'm sure. Losing a dream, something you expected would just happen, it's like a death in some ways. And you can suffer just as much. Yet other people may not realize how hard it is for Sarah, and she could feel very alone. Have you ever experienced what Sarah is going through?
You know, Sarah's not the first woman I know who's gone through this.
And if Sarah has all these tests, and she learns that there's no chance of having a baby, I think she's really going to need your support. You can't solve her problem, but you can be there and listen. And she will need time to really accept it before she moves on to something else. You're her friend. So perhaps you can let her cry with you. Even let her be angry. But let her know that you understand her sadness.
I try to support her and understand her feelings because she would really like to become a mother. She said she would like to foster a baby or perhaps even adopt one, and I know she would love that child just as much. But I don't think she should rush into adoption too quickly. It takes time to really accept that she cannot bear a child and for that grief to settle. And another thing is that she's not sure whether her husband would accept someone else's baby.
I can see where taking a step like that would be very hard on the family, and they certainly need to agree about it. But I'm sure that after some time, she'll want to find ways of showing her caring and nurturing spirit in another way. What about some type of work with children?
She wants to work in an orphanage sometime, but it's too hard at this moment. We're praying that she can feel less bitter and sad about it all.
This is all so very hard, but at least she still has a chance.
She and her husband are going to the doctor tomorrow to both have tests. Not a fun way to celebrate their first wedding anniversary.
You can say that again. But I hope they find out why. If there is a clear reason, then maybe they'll be able to have a treatment.
In the meantime, they are trying to be healthy with their food and exercise, and no alcohol or smoking. They are trying to follow her cycle, but it could take away some of the fun of intimacy.
Well, they're doing all they can, and we can pray that they're able to have a baby.
With Women of Hope, and we've been talking about the problem of infertility, and that will come up again, so stay with us, won't you?
We've talked before about how God made the world, and that all tribes and nations descended from the first people that God made. They grew in number and spread out, and they got some different ideas about God. They got so confused about how to worship the true God and live right lives. Many groups began to worship idols, but God loved the world. He had not forgotten his promise to make a way for us to come back to him, and so he began to fulfill that promise. Roz is going to tell us how that all started.
Here is a true story from very ancient times. It's found in the first section of the Bible called Genesis. Long ago, there lived a man named Abram. His family were nomadic cattle herders. Now God spoke to Abram and said, "Leave your country and your relatives and go to a place that I will show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that all nations will be blessed through you." So Abraham took his wife Sarai, his nephew, his servants, and his animals, and they set off. They had many adventures, and God did show him the fertile country he promised. Abram grew wealthy there. Now let's think. What were the three things that God had promised Abram, things he would really want? Yes, land, fame, and children. And wonderfully, God had begun to show Abram what God was truly like and how to worship him. You would think Abram would be very happy. But, well, let's continue with the story from God's word. You see, Abram and Sarai had a secret sorrow. They had no children, and they were getting old. He was 75 years old when he started traveling. It was 10 years later when God spoke to Abram again. He said, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I will shield you from danger and give you a great reward." Abram answered very respectfully, but he had to ask the question that was on his heart. "Sovereign Lord," he said, "what good will your reward be if I have to leave it to all my head servants, since I have no son?" Then God took him outside the tent and showed him the stars, millions of them sparkling on a sky like black velvet. "Can you count the stars?" he asked. "Yet I promise you will have as many descendants as the stars." And then the Bible says something very important. Abram put his trust in God, and because of this, God was pleased with him and accepted him. So God went on to make a binding agreement with Abram and his descendants. He would be their God. He would bless them and provide for them, and they would be his people and learn to worship and obey him. As a sign of this, God changed his name to Abraham, which means something like ancestor of nations. Sarai couldn't help laughing when she heard this prophecy. What, an old woman having a baby? And you know, Abraham was 100 years old when finally Sarai had that promised baby. But God's promise did come true. From Abraham came millions of people and many nations, especially the peoples of the Middle East.
So God fulfilled the promise to give him land and descendants. Was he famous too?
Well, yes. He was a well-known leader who mixed with kings and chiefs and defeated attackers. Of course, he is still very famous. Jews, Muslims, and Christians all look back to him with great respect.
I was thinking about the part of the promise where God said, what was it? All nations would be blessed through him. Even if he was well known in his part of the world, that's not all nations.
No, but one day one of his descendants would come and he would be the one who would bring a blessing to all nations.
Jesus came from that family line, and he came to be the Savior of the whole world. So through Abraham, all nations were blessed.
That's right. God had that all planned from the beginning, to gradually teach his people about himself and prepare them for the coming of Jesus. But it all started with Abraham. God so wanted to call him back to himself. Abraham heard God's voice and obeyed.
How did God speak to him?
Well, the story doesn't exactly say. Maybe a voice or a dream? Later on, God sent special messengers to him. But listen, God still speaks. He wants to call us too. He speaks to us in different ways. How do you think he does this?
Well, I most often hear God speak to me through his word, the Bible.
And there is the voice of our conscience telling us what is right.
And sometimes God speaks through other people who know him.
And maybe through your friends on the radio. The question is, are we interested in hearing him? Are we like Abraham, ready to put our trust in God? Ready to wait for his time to fulfill his promises? Remember what pleased God? Yes, it was the fact that Abraham trusted him. Abraham made plenty of mistakes, but he learned one thing really well, to trust God and do what he told him.
That's a good thing for us to remember too. God made you, he loves you, and he calls you today. Are you listening? Keep your ears open this week for what God is saying to you.
Before we finish today on Women of Hope, here's a letter from one of our listeners. She was unable to have the baby that she wanted, but she learned to listen to God's voice and trust him. Let's listen to her story.
She says, "From my childhood, my life was so happy, and I thought I had everything. When I was 19 years old, I married the man I loved, and soon after, I gave birth to a baby boy. We were so happy. We both had dreams for a girl. But later I gave birth to another baby boy. My husband showed his disapproval. I became so sad. So again, we planned to have a baby girl. But 5 years went by, and I did not conceive. When we went to the doctor, he told me I could not give birth to another baby. I became sad and depressed. My husband did not show me any love. He ignored me. One day, a lady told me about Women of Hope. She told me that through this program, I would be comforted and come close to Jesus. She gave me a program guide and prayed for me. I just put it aside. One day my heart told me to turn on the radio. The program was totally related to me. It was about adoption. I was shocked. I learned that in the Bible, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." Feel it or not, believe it or not, you are linked to the big eternal plan of God. He loves and cares for you so much. These words touched my heart. I came to know that some child had a great need for me. I wanted to adopt a girl child and give a bright future and hope to her. I talked to my husband. At first, he did not agree. I prayed and prayed, and God answered. He agreed to adopt a girl. We got a baby whom passersby found in the bushes where her mother had left her. My eyes filled with tears. Now, I thank God for not giving me my own baby girl, because the girl whom we adopted wants us and needs us.
What a wonderful story. God had a purpose in this woman not having her own baby girl. Now this little girl has a bright hope and a loving future. I want to thank the listener for sharing this story with us. If you have any questions or maybe you would like to tell us your story,
we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.